and being a part of our service tonight, and glad to have some more of our good friends from Lambert Chapel tonight. And we appreciate all of you coming and your faithfulness, and I've enjoyed the special music each night. I've enjoyed the fellowship. I've just had a good time this week. I was going to say last night, but I didn't. I was thinking, I said, well, these folks probably think, well, that's the long-windedest preacher I've ever heard in my life. I'm really not that long-winded. I'm a little long-winded in revival, but I know a lot of people say, I sure wouldn't want to go to his church. He's too long-winded. But I'm really not, you know, on Sunday morning and Sunday night and all. But I get a little carried away in the revival, and I think that's all right. Once in a while, you know, we can stay a little longer. My wife told me the other night, she said, you know, you preach 50 minutes. Oh, I said, I didn't. But, you know, time flies. You know, I've told the church, and I've said many times, the shortest hour in the week is Sunday morning from 11 to 12 o'clock. That hour just passes. So, and I usually try to, and the people at Lambert Chapel will tell you that I usually try to let them out at 12 or a little bit after anyway, not too far after. Once in a while I'd go a little over, wouldn't I? But they still love me, and they still do. So, but I've really enjoyed it this week. I really have, and thank you for inviting me. Whoever's responsible for me being here, and I know it's the church because the church voted for me to come for this revival this week, and so I appreciate it so much, and I really do. And Jane, she said that she's really enjoyed it, and the fine folk here at Powhatan, and you do have a good congregation, Brother Jim, and I just appreciate that, and I know that you're doing great things for God, and you're going to continue to do great things for the Lord. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, 1 through 11, and I'm not going to keep you too long tonight. I hope, maybe I won't, but I'm not going to say I won't, but I'll just let the Lord take care of all of that, okay? But that's the main thing anyway. Just obey the Lord, and we're going to be all right. Oh, so Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 and following. The former treaties have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time of the or the season of which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him. So may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word tonight. Let's bow for just a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day and for your blessings. And Lord, we just pray for all of those that are sick, all the names that's been mentioned all the week. And Lord, we just pray for each and every one. And we pray for little Jacob. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you would just perform a miracle in his life, Lord. And I pray that this procedure that they're going to do, Lord, will be a great success. I pray, Lord, that he'll just make him alive and well. Because, Lord, we know that you're able. And Lord, we pray for all of those that are sick. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to bless this service tonight. We thank you for it. And Lord, we pray now that you would just lead us and direct us and guide us. And Lord, that you would give us what you would have us to bring tonight. May the word of God be a blessing to our hearts. May we rejoice tonight. May we praise him from whom all blessings flow. Because, Lord, you've been so good to us, and you're worthy of all of our praise and all of our adoration. And, Lord, just be with us now. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Also think tonight what Jesus took back to heaven. We see that this was Jesus' last day on earth. And the disciples are together with Jesus. And the disciples are asking him about the kingdom. And we must always remember that Christ is certainly going to set up his kingdom one of these days here upon the earth. There is a future aspect of his kingdom that is coming that you and I is going to enjoy one of these days because we're going to be with him and be in his presence. And you're talking about having a hallelujah time. Listen, when all of God's children get on the other side and we won't have to separate anymore, there'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more heartaches. Everybody will be happy over there. Won't that be wonderful? So we see that he is certainly going to set up his kingdom and his reign. And in verse 7, and he said unto them, unto his disciples, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. So the Father put his time in his own power. The Lord has his own time. Sometimes we don't understand the Lord's time, but he has his own time in doing things. Sometimes we want him to, Lord, just hurry up, hurry up. Hurry up, Lord, I can't wait. But we can wait. Wait upon the Lord. That's what we need to do is wait upon him. Have patience. Wait upon the Lord. Listen, we can't get ahead of the Lord because if we get ahead of the Lord, we're going to make a mess of ourselves. But if we follow him as he leads us, we are going to be blessed. And that's not going to be part of the time. We're going to be blessed all the time. As long as we're in the will of God and we are following him, he says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And we need to do and walk in the way of Almighty God at all times. We never need to fail him because he is so good to us. He never fails us. And we certainly don't want to fail him. And then in verse 8, but ye shall receive power
Jesus is telling his disciples, he said, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, he said, unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So Jesus said that you're going to have the power. I'm going to give you power, and you're going to be a witness for me. And so, and when he, verse 9, and we had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, the Bible says, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazed into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. We see Jesus ascending, his disciples looking, his disciples beholding, his disciples must have been spellbound. They must have been amazed at this sight. At this spectacular sight that Jesus, the one that had taught them, the one that they were with, and the one that they loved, and the one that blessed them, why this Jesus was going to leave them. And certainly it must have been a sad time for them. You know, they might have even cried. They might have even wept because their best friend Jesus was going to leave them. I'm sure we would weep if our best friend left us. And so Jesus was their best friend. And by the way, he's our best friend too, isn't he? And so we want to look tonight why, for a few minutes, why or what Jesus took back to heaven. You know, the Bible has much to say about his first coming what he brought from heaven. He brought God's revealed love and God's revealed plan, God's revealed direction for our life. He just simply brought God's blueprint for us, the roadmap for us. The Word of God is our roadmap that leads us through life. It leads us to the good things in life, and then it leads us right on to glory, does it not? So we see that there is isn't that much said about what Jesus took back to heaven. First of all, we see that the ascension of our Lord meant that he was withdrawing from this earth. As he went away, he was withdrawing from this earth. His work was finished. He had did good, went around doing the things that the Father wanted him to do. He was always in the will of the Father. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, even when he was about to die on the cross, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup of death pass from me. Lord, if it's thy will, but nevertheless not thy will, or my will, but thy will be done. So Jesus was always wanting to do the Father's will. In every aspect of his life, his desire was to do the Father's will, and he did the Father's will. Always. And so we ought to have a desire to do the Father's will at all time. And so we see that he took back to heaven as he was withdrawing from heaven. His work was no more. And certainly as he ascended back to heaven, it terminated his work upon earth. This man that did good, this man that opened eyes of many blind people, this man who caused the lame to walk, this man that was always interested in the affairs of other human beings, and he always wanted to do the very best for all the people that he came in contact with, and all the mighty miracles this man Jesus did. Why, he was an outstanding individual upon the face of the earth. He was, as I said, he was always desiring to do what the Lord, the Father, wanted him to do. He never wanted to get out of the will of the Father. So his miracles, his works, his goodness, all of these things were coming to an end when he ascended back to the Father. His work was complete. His work was over. And so as he went back into heaven, his ascension, as he went away, he went away to take our pardon and our justification. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord, when he died upon the cross and shed his blood to justify man and to forgive humankind for our sins. What a wonderful act of love that was on the cross. What a wonderful act that Jesus did on the cross. What wonderful things he did as he lived upon the face of the earth. What a man. What a Lord. What an awesome Lord we have today. God is an awesome God. He's a miracle-working Lord. He's still in the miracle business today. He's still able to touch babies today, Brother Jim, is he not? And I trust that he'll see and that it'll be his will that he'll touch this little baby that Brother Jim talked about, the grandbaby. And so he's still doing miracles today. You know, as I look around tonight, I see a lot of miracles here tonight. You know, it's nothing but a miracle from God because we're here tonight. We're all miracles, aren't we? Isn't that wonderful tonight that I'm a miracle and each of you are a miracle tonight? Hallelujah. We're a miracle tonight. Because God has seen fit that we are a miracle. We see that he took our pardon. That was a miracle that he died on the cross for our sins. And we could be cleansed and cleaned up and made a new creature in Jesus Christ. And all things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. Things that we once loved, we don't love them anymore. And the things that we didn't love, why we love him now. I tell you tonight, we ought to love him more than anything else. He's more precious to us. He's better than silver and gold. He's better than honey from the honeycomb. I tell you tonight, he is the real deal, isn't he? Yes, he is. Woo! He is the real deal. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're on his side? You know, as I said last night, that song, and it's always been a blessing to me and stuck with me. Curtis Hudson, he was an independent Baptist preacher. He was a mail carrier before the Lord called him to preach, and he was head of the Sword of the Lord at one time. But that song that he wrote, that the Lord gave him, I'm on the winning side. And listen, we are on the winning side. You know, we're never losers. You know, the world thinks that Christians are losers. The world thinks the Christians are a little bit off up here, you know. We're a little bit strange. You know, old Ted Turner. You've heard of Ted Turner, haven't you? Some of you probably haven't. Some of you probably haven't. But he was the owner of, and I guess he is, the Atlanta Braves. He made a statement that Christian people were, in other words, we weren't quite as intelligent. I guess he thinks that because we don't have the kind of money he has. But listen, it's not the money, and it's not the pleasures, and it's not the things of this world that's going to make a person happy. And it's not the things of this world that's going to get us out of this world alive. We may be dead, but listen, we're going to get out of this world alive because he lives. The Bible says we're going to live also. And I'm telling you, we're going to have a resurrection time Sunday morning, aren't we, Brother Jim? When we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. He broke out of that grave, out of that tomb, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he's still the victor one. He's still the overcomer. And because he overcame, I can overcome too. Because of him, I can overcome. Hallelujah. Whew. I tell you, that ought to make a Free Will Baptist excited. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Yes, sir. So, I'm telling you, he took our pardon, did he not? Then he took back the scars in his body, the nail prints in his hands and his feet. He took these things, thorns upon his brow, and all of these. Listen, they treated our Lord terrible, bad. They just were so ugly to him. Can you imagine human beings treating another human being like our Savior was treated? And he never sinned. He never sinned. But they treated him, beat him so mercifully. But he said, Father, Father, can you imagine him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Praise the Lord. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a spirit of love. And you know, I wish I could have that kind, don't you? I'm telling you, that was our blessed Lord that said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. Can you imagine? That's Jesus. That's just like him. Praise his name. That's just like our blessed Savior, isn't it? Hallelujah. That's just like him. And so the spears that thrust into his side, the blood fell as the thorn, as the nails in his hands and feet, and the crown of thorns upon his head, beating him, the blood began to flow. The blood fell. As James sung last night, love grew where the blood fell. Is that right? But it kept falling, and it kept falling. And you know what? There was a drop for me, and there was a drop for you. Woo! Hallelujah! Yes, it was for you and for me. That's the reason he died. Isn't that love? Isn't that amazing love? Wonderful love that he showed on the cross. He loved us. That much. It's amazing to me to think about that somebody loves me like that. You know, when I was growing up, we had a tough time, and most people did back then. We didn't have the Lee jeans and all of these things. We just wore the cheapest jeans we could find and buy and wear, did we not? But now they have jeans that cost about $100. I can't believe that, can you? We had a tough time back then. But the Lord was still with us, and the Lord blessed us. He's blessed us through the tough times, hasn't He? He's just been with us. Hasn't the Lord been a blessing to us? He has been a blessing. There's nobody, no individual in my life. And Jane, she's just been a jewel. You know, don't tell her I said that, but she's just been a jewel to me. But I think her husband's been a jewel to her too. No, I'm not saying. No, what did I say? We'll jewel to each other. We love each other, and we're blessing to each other. And she's told me for years. She said, "You know, you're fun living with," and so that makes me feel good. So. Married people ought to have fun with each other, amen? We ought to enjoy each other and have fun in our marriage and be excited because, you know, the Lord can give us that excitement, can't He? We see that in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, "But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement our peace was His peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." We see that He took the scars, all the scars, and then He took the authority. And boy, I like this. I like this. He took the authority to send the Holy Ghost. That's what I feel right now standing here. If he had not did that, I wouldn't be standing here a stomping and a spitting and I've told the church I've been preaching and spitting out before. I told the folks, I said, "I'm glad you're not sitting too close to me, because somebody think I'm spitting on them," you know. But I don't spit as much as I used to. We used to preach, and maybe I preach harder then than I do now. I don't know. But anyway, I used to spit and stomp and carry on. That's all right. Just have a good time. Amen? Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. We see in John 16, verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Jesus said, "Now, nevertheless, fellas, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Disciples, it is necessary. It's absolute a necessity that I go away. That I go away, for if I do not go away,
the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him upon you. So he said, fellas, I tell you what, we've been friends, we've been buddies, we've done a lot of things together. We've enjoyed ourselves, but I tell you what, I'm going to leave you, but I'm really not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit upon you. And on that day of Pentecost, why the 120 in the upper room must have knew that Jesus made a safe trip back, because those in that upper room, they were having a time. They could feel that Holy Spirit power, and they knew the Lord as He said that He would send the Comfort upon the Comforter upon them. And so they could feel His power, and they could feel His anointing upon their life. Folks, if He did not go away, we wouldn't have the Comforter. We wouldn't have the Holy Ghost of God today. That just makes us want to, just put a dance in us sometime almost. And just, there's a feller, Johnny Bullman. I don't know where you remember Brother Johnny Bullman or not, Brother Jim. He used to be a character. And he was a good preacher. He pastored in Spartanburg, South Carolina. He came to Wilson one time, the pastor, but the folks just weren't accustomed to his kind of preaching, because he just get on down on it now. And so they didn't get too accustomed to his kind of preaching. And he didn't stay there too long, but he went back to the church he was at in Spartanburg. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, somebody asked him, said, Brother Johnny, have you quit dancing? He said, no, I sure haven't. I've just changed partners. So he'd been dancing for the Lord a long time. He was I've heard him preach and give his testimony. He was quite a character. But he said he danced for the devil, but he was still dancing, but he changed partner. He was dancing for the Lord now. Then he took the interceding spirit in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and is appointed to men once to die. And after that, the judgment. So Jesus is the great lawgiver, isn't he? He is the one. He's pleading. He's saying that as he went away into heaven to go to sit at the right hand of Father God to intercede for us. Isn't that wonderful to have an intercessor, a great lawyer, a great high priest like Jesus Christ interceding for us? And he's just waiting for the Father to say, go on down, my son. Go on. It's time that my children come home. Listen, it's going to be time one of these days that God's children is going to go home. And so we see he took the plan for our heavenly home when he went away in John 14:3. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's going away to prepare a place. He took the plan with him. And then he took a desire to come again. And he's coming back again, isn't he? I know all over this building, all of you know and believe surely that he's coming back. In John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come again. So Jesus is coming back for his children. He's coming back. And I want to be ready, don't you? I want to be ready when he comes back, because he's coming back.
I know he is. You know why I know he is? Because he said he was. The book says he is. And so if the book says it, I believe it, don't you? Some people don't understand it. And some things I don't understand. But I just take the Word of God by faith, face value, and by faith, knowing that this is an inspired book, because it inspires me and it inspires you, it excites us. I tell you, this book that I hold in my hand right now is the greatest book I could ever carry around. It's the greatest book. It says Holy Bible. A holy Bible, and holy it is. And you know, God wants His people to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So are you looking for His return one of these days? Amen. He's coming back, isn't He? Just like He said. Yes, as the fellows was gazing up into heaven, and they just looked up just as far as they could see, till the cloud took him out of their sight, and their Jesus was gone. But he really wasn't gone, because he said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And I'm glad of that today, aren't you? Whew. Do you know Jesus? I'm sure all of you tonight know Jesus as your Savior. But if you don't, I invite you to come to know Him. He's the greatest friend. He'll be the greatest blessing to you. He'll just be an exciting guest at your home. He'll just be a blessing to you. God bless you. And if any of you just want to come and just talk to the Father, just come on. Just come on and talk to the Father. You know, we can't talk to Him too much, can we? So if you have a need, whatever it might be, come on. As Brother Jim leads us in our closing hymn, okay?